Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto of Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Neil. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited about our guest today. Our guest today is Martha Bolton. She's a screenwriter, author. Is it also you had a nomination? It's a pretty interesting nomination as well. Martha, thanks for stopping by. So when you think about your career, how would you define that career, first of all? You know, there's so many different things you've done. You know, Emmy nominee, Outstanding Achievement in Music and Lyrics, 88 books you've written. I mean, I don't know how you wrote 88 books. You think of that, Greg. 88 books. I'm trying to write my first book. Greg has written two. 88 books. That's all I have to say. That'd be something if we were doing, like, you know, on TikTok or something, just typed out 88 books. Who could say they've written that many? Did you think you'd be this accomplished in all the things you did? Have done
well, the one word to describe it is no sleep. So
that's a great one.
I do an awful lot of writing at 3 o'clock in the morning, and wow, that's just when I get inspired. And if I'm laying there, I want to get to work and just start. So if you don't get out of bed and start writing it down, you can't remember it in the morning. So I've just trained myself to do that.
And then you mean, and a New York Times bestselling author.
I love
Greg. Also, I want to say New York Times bestselling author. That's something that's pretty amazing too, right? You guys have a club, right? That Greg and I are not part of yet.
We're not in that club, no.
it's been a surprise, definitely. You just do, you know, one foot in front of another, one book in front of another, and you just keep going as projects come. And before you know it, you look back at your career. I'm in the middle of writing my memoirs right now. And you look back and you go, my goodness, when did I have time to do all this? But I did, you know, you're looking at going through all the scripts and the books and the manuscripts and all the ads for it and just the experiences, the photos.
Martha, we could have 5 hours with you if you check out the Bob Hope. I mean, I hate to read a bio, you know, be on a podcast. I like to ask questions, but we couldn't, Greg. There's no way we could cover all the things that Martha's accomplished.
I know, I'm, you know, staff writer for Bob Hope. I mean, how cool is that?
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, I was already writing for Phyllis Diller and you know, some other comedians,
wow,
but he's the top. I mean, you know, when I got the opportunity to write for him, and I became his first woman staff writer. So that was another, you know, exciting moment, and he was so wonderful to work for. Oh my goodness. I loved writing, the book, the Dear Bob book, just to sing his praises, because he's just was an incredible human being, and the world was better off that he was in it.
Mm. Wow.
Wow. And how did you get that gig, Bob, to be a writer for Bob Hope?
Well, it came after I was writing for the other comedians. And then I wanted to get into script writing, and I had read this book by a gentleman named Gene Parrott, who had written for the Carol Burnett Show. And we had a lot in common, because I got my comedy writing start writing, roasting pastors, because I was a church secretary and I was roasting the pastors. And so I just wrote him a little letter saying that we had a lot in common, because that's how he got his start. And then he invited me down to see Mama's Family. He was also a creative consultant from that, because that's spun off of Carol Burnett Show. And then I showed him some of my writing, and he recommended me to write a script for Mama's Family. And so I ended up writing two scripts and got it to him, and he really loved him, and he got it to the producer, and the producer said he was going to call me in the next season to let me pitch some show ideas. And as of what happens in Hollywood, the show got canceled in the meantime. It ended up getting picked back up later, but it got canceled in that moment. So it was this from this huge disappointment, because I was so close, and then, you know, it got it came crashing down before I could, you know, do it. He happened to be a writer for Bob Hope, and he said, "Would you like to try writing for Bob Hope?" And you know, that was like, "Are you serious?" And I did some jokes and sent it in to Gene. He got it to Bob, and then a little bit later, I kept waiting to hear. And a little bit later, one night, it was probably 11:30 at night, I get this phone call, and it's Bob Hope on the other end of the line. I could not believe it. Oh my goodness! It just at first I thought it was a guy in our church that did voices. He impersonated people, and he knew I had sent some jokes to Bob, so he had been pretending to be him before that. And then when it actually was him, I thought it was the other guy. So it ended up being Bob Hope. And
wow.
He gave me some more assignments, and I just kept on going.
So
15 years, yeah.
Wow, 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever get on the Johnny Carson show with him? Or?
Well, yeah, he would go on, and then we'd have the assignment to write material for him to go on the show and say. So it was always a big deal when he went on the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah.
Usually plugging a television special coming up, you know.
Coming up next. So what would you think, what gave Bob Hope this special talent? What would you say, being interacting with Bob and all that made him different than other people? What would you say?
He just went for it. He was having fun from the first time he walked out on stage as a young man. And till the end. And I think nobody enjoyed their career as much as Bob Hope did. He couldn't wait. As soon as we finished one show, he was on the phone talking about what are we going to do next. If he traveled all around, you know, into other countries, the plane would just land and he'd say, okay, what are we going to do next? he loved what he did. And the military, I had tremendous respect for what he did for the military, and I think the world does too. And in researching Dear Bob, the letters from the soldiers that interacted with him back and forth, and just tremendous, tremendous person, human being, and encouraged the troops, ended up winning, so...
I always will remember the College All-American thing, Greg, for the College All-American with Bob Hope when he would introduce all the College All-Americans every year.
Yeah.
I was a huge Pitt fan in 1979, or it was 1981 when they'd say Dan Marino, Q Green, and that Pitt team of 81. And you'd see, can't wait to see the College All-Americans who they're going to introduce on the Bob Hope show. I remember those days.
Yeah. Those were so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. And you look back and you see the ones that have gone on to tremendous careers. But it was, they'd come to the studio and they'd be these huge, huge guys walking around, you know. And
yeah. What's the most famous College All-American you met?
Oh, my goodness. The Refrigerator was on the show. I mean, all of them, all the major Super Bowl winners.
Oh my goodness. That must have been crazy. So how many years were you writing? You said how many years?
15.
You met every celebrity. Can you imagine that, Greg? Jeez.
Just about. I mean, that he
all
ran
the pictures,
a good
right?
crowd.
You get
he
all the pictures.
It was fun because on the at the shows, if he needed a line change or something like that, we would go into his dressing room. You know, and he would tell us, you know, we'd have to pitch the new joke to go in there and pitch. And there on the sofa would be these legends of comedy waiting to see what was going to come out of your mouth. And, it, you know, Lucille Ball, Milton Berle, Danny Thomas, I mean, just, and then all the, you know, the up and coming stars. It was incredible. You never knew who was going to be on the show. And, He had it was an A-list of Hollywood.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. And that is crazy. That's why you're in LA. So what's your tip for writers? Because, you know, I'm trying to become a writer now. Greg's a writer. There's so many people who tune in to this podcast and Greg's podcast, plus the radio show. They all want someday to write. What makes a special writer to you? And what do you think? Because, you know, so many people want to write. They just don't think they can, or they don't feel they're worthy to do it. What would you say?
Right. Number one, accept that because every writer has that. Every writer has to overcome that. So that's number one. Number two, don't give up, especially in the beginning, because you know, there are some hard knocks. You know, you get the rejection slips and you know, you were positive. My first book, when I sold it, I took a whole bunch of people out to dinner. And then I got a few weeks later, I get a letter that the company had gone bankrupt. No. So, I mean, these things happen. And, you know, one moment you think it's going, just like I said, that's how I got to Bob Hope, because I got a big disappointment. So don't ever think a rejection is a rejection of your talent or a rejection of your work. Sometimes it's just a different door that's going to open for you. So don't give up in the process. The process is important. That's how you grow. Even if you do get rejections, you go, okay, well, what did I do wrong? You know, and then you start trying to learn more and just keep putting, like I said, just one manuscript, you know, don't, if one comes back, see if there's something wrong with it. If there's not, get it back in the mail. Just, and then what I like to tell writers to do is have the next place ready that you're going to send it. So in case it comes back, you're ready. You just pop it in the envelope and it's gone. So you don't feel bad too long, you know, because it's out there. There's still hope. And if it continues to come back, then you work on it and see. But you're not, as a writer, you're not a one project person. So mm-hmm. have a lot of projects, and it increases your chances. And you don't know which one is going to. The acceptances are kind of going to define your path.
Yeah.
Going, you know, because I wrote a lot of drama, and then the acceptances was coming in comedy. And so I just went in that direction. And now I'm kind of coming full circle, doing a lot of, you know, a blend of comedy and drama. And, you know, in the musicals that I'm working on and we're doing and having much success with that, which is exciting. But it all started back then. You know, I was doing the drama first, and then comedy, and then now it's a blend. So you know, adapt wherever it's going. Be willing to change and go that direction for a while, and then you may come back and go another direction. But
well, so your new book, the playwright, you know, The Confession. This Amish love story. How did you come up with that? And what's the process behind that? I mean, I might be wrong, but, you know, forgive me, but you don't look Amish to me, but I'm not sure. You know?
Well, that's interesting too. How that happened was I was writing plays in the beginning, my very beginning, and church plays and that sort of thing. So I got approached by the producer who is our producer now on the musicals. And he had heard about me. I had been recommended to him. And so he asked if I had, you know, would be interested in writing some Amish musicals. And so our first one, which is The Confession, which has just now become The Confession movie, a confession musical movie, it was written by Beverly Lewis. It's a trilogy, and she's a, you know, 5 million book selling authors, very popular in the Amish genre. And so we took that, it was a trilogy, and we took the three books and we put it on stage, which it's been playing now in four theaters in Shipshewana, Indiana, and in Sugar Creek, Ohio, and in Burdenham, Pennsylvania, and then in Sarasota, Florida. So it's been playing at over 200,000 people have seen it. And then we recorded it as a film. And recorded it live, sold out two audiences, thousand, both performances. And it's coming out on Fathom, February 20th, President's Day. And it's going to be in 1600 theaters across the country for that one day, two showings each theater. And then it'll be on Up TV around Easter. So it just kind of, we started and we've got 13 plays that are, they're based in either in Amish country. It's an Amish person that's in an English world, or an English person in an Amish world is kind of the theme of all of these, but they're a lot of comedy, a lot of drama. And this one is definitely, it's about a family, Amish family that kept a secret, and this Amish girl's journey to find the truth. And Shonda Pierce stars in it, and John Schneider. And it's a lot of fun, and it's got a powerful message.
You know, it's interesting you talk about powerful message, all those different things in this, and which I think is cool. So it started out, you're just writing this for a play, right? And it's developed right. The movie yep. process. Was it a book ever, or just more just the play, a play?
Well, it was the it was Beverly Lewis's trilogy, three books, and then we adapted it to the stage, and it became a very popular play, and then it just we just kept going with one about one a year. We'd come out with a new musical.
And then, did you ever think this was go to a movie? This whole process.
Well, you know, not at first, but the more we kept doing it, then we did start going in that direction, and we worked on it for quite a while to bring it to film. And this last year we did it, and we're very excited. A lot of very talented producers are involved, and Mel Riegsecker, who is from Shipshewana, and he was Amish, and then left the Amish church, and at that time he had gotten shunned, so that's a big part of the film too, is the shunning. There's a shunning in it, so it's, but there's like there's drama, and there's a lot of laughter, and a good ending, and a powerful message. So
wow, that's fantastic. What other projects you have in the hopper right now?
Well, I'm working on my memoirs. That is one project that I'm doing. And then I'm got a couple of other books in the works, and we're currently writing our next musical. So I keep busy. I keep.
Yeah.
You said you don't sleep. There's the reason. You don't sleep. And is that from the days in LA? You never, the City of Angels never sleeps.
Well, my husband was a Los Angeles police officer, so he always worked different shifts. So I was used to adapting to middle of the night. You know, I had three kids, so a lot of night times that I was up. So if I was going to be up and nobody else in the house but me and the kids, and they were asleep, then I'd write.
All right, Greg, ask the question you ask all of our guests.
Yeah, here it comes. I'm all excited to ask you this, Martha. Okay. What's the most important thing you've ever learned?
Oh, wow. Well, the most important thing is probably not to give up, like I said, because I can look back and so many situations, not just writing, but just life and different things that have happened. And if I had given up anywhere along the line, and I look back now, I could see the things that I would have missed had I given up. But I stayed with it. And then now I can look back and go, wow, had I not stayed with it and I'd thrown in the towel. And often you're tempted to throw in the towel just before it comes.
Yeah.
And if you give up, you know, just keep waiting, because you don't know. It could be right around the corner. Could be years, but it could be right around the corner.
Don't throw the towel in, Greg.
Amen.
Don't throw the towel in, even those right. days, you know, people with their New Year's resolutions and all these different things. Listen to what Martha says. So, Martha, we can check out the film again. Where's Best Place?
Phantom. You could go to the Fathom website, or the best, really good one to remember is confessionmusicalmovie.com. And that you can buy the tickets there. You can check all the information about it at that site. And then you could also get it at fathom.com.
Do you have a website yourself where people can go?
MarthaBolton.com. Easy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Piece of cake. Interesting, Martha. I can't imagine this memoir. Get ready on this. I mean, but the 88 books, now you got to hit the, so are you going to write one other book before? So you say my 90th book's my memoir?
Well, maybe it may work out to be that way.
Yeah, this is crazy. And continued success. Such great stories to learn about and reminisce about Bob Hope. So I definitely reminisce watching with my father and stuff when they were in, and my mother announcing all the college, the all Americans on Bob Hope. Remember that?
Yes.
I know you remember that too. It's just a picture saying, well, who was there and watching Bob Hope and learning about some of the experiences you had. And thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, that was Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Guys, take care.